Hello and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And this is our 300th show with the wonderful BBS Radio. Well, what about that? This is just amazing. We are so excited.
We are.
And the sun's shining and it's going to be a lovely day.
And the birds are singing.
And everything's good with the world.
Yes.
On BBS Radio anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, for those of you who are with us for the first time, on Spirit's Work, every week, Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air, and he channels an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. And they are an educational group, and they are here every week to give us knowledge and information that we'd possibly have never any way of getting access to. So this week's show is another chance for you to participate if you have a question. It's a general questions show. It's not a personal readings style situation, but you're more than welcome to participate and call us with a question. It's toll free in the US, and that's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756, and international callers is not toll free, and the number is 001-530-876-3222. And I will tell you, we do readings, and I will tell you about that in a little while, how you, if you would like a reading with us, how you can make that possible.
Yeah, well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. Welcome to Spirit's Work on BBS Radio. com, and we're here live every Sunday, in fact, at 10 a.m. PST, which is 1 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. GMT. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, our CDs, book an Akashic reading, as Sylvie said, or any of the other types and kinds of readings that we have to offer, please go visit our websites, which are now at www.spirit-teaching.com. We're also at www.spiritsworkradio.com, hence the radio. And we're also now live at www.mickavery.com, and that's basically our European arm of our work for the spirit world. Now, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can hopefully gain a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. So when I go into the deep trance state, I will not know of anything that happens on the physical side of life until the spirit team bring me back again. And that really is how it should be, because you wouldn't want my thoughts and my feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the contact. Oh, and incidentally as well, this wasn't something that we dreamed up. It was actually that we were asked to do this work by the spirit world just over 15 years ago now, and we've been doing it ever since. So it wasn't something that, you know, we weren't born with silver spoons in our mouths or whatever. This was something that the spirit world actually approached us over and asked us to do as a work in service to them and to humanity. So I'll leave this time in everyone else's care now, and I'm off.
Thanks. Yes, Gregory Hay was asked before his physical life if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who were, as Mick said, going to help the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life in service, basically. The group wants us to understand, everybody to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and aid us on a road to recovery and raising the vibration of the planet along the way, hopefully. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life and to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet and, of course, those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. And so I mentioned the Akashic readings. They are wonderful, amazing, unique readings that you can have with Gregory one-to-one on the telephone, or obviously if you are in the UK, you can have literally a one-to-one. But you can have a telephone reading, or you can have an audio reading where you just send the questions in. And basically he will read from your book of life. It's a spiritual reading. You will find out all sorts of things about your soul energy and your direction in life and your pathway, marrying up your spiritual pathway with your physical life and helping you to find your way. So if you would like to know more, do go to our website and look at the Akashic Readings page, and you'll see all of the details there. But if I can help you in any way, then just give me, send me an email, enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I would willingly talk you through whatever. Anyway, 300th show today. Wow, amazing, amazing. And BBS Radio has just grown so huge, and it's still so amazing. And I'm so proud. We are so proud to be a part of it still. And I actually don't know what we're going to talk about today, because I spoke to Gregory. We had a meeting earlier about the show, as we always do. And he was going to surprise me. So I'm going to wing it, and like I say, if you want to join in, then please do so. And we'll have a good time, I know. And here he is, Gregory. Hello.
Hello, my dear friends, with love and light. Blessings, little bird. Hello, everyone. I am so pleasured and honored to be able to meet with you at this time. And also, of course, to be a part of this program of exchange between our side of life and yours, as well as, of course, all of the facilities and abilities of those of your side of life to enable this situation to take place. I am honored, of course, of all of those who are also in the spirit world, in the team, the White Cloud Group, who also facilitate on our behalf as the collective, changing the energy, really, to enable this whole scenario of communication to take place. And it is also, of course, with honor, my dear friends, that we are here also to cite the work of Don and Douglas Newsome, who, and all, also, of course, all of the little Newsomes who happen to be into to this much esteemed family as far as the spirit world are concerned, and their tireless work on behalf of humanity and actually on behalf of the spirit world in all realms and facilities which are created herein are to their quality and to their understanding and the fact that they are in such complete service to humankind and really the whole of life as you know it upon the physical side of life. Just simply to try to bring about the truth and nature of existence of the universe to those who wish to learn and have an open mind to do so. So we thank you all, dear friends, with the deepest love and affection that we extend to everyone involved in the making of these works.
Okay, absolutely. Wonderful.
So, my dear friend, what we want to talk about to begin with.
I'm on the edge of my chair.
Of course you are, little bird. Is actually to do with the ways and interpretations, first of all,
mm-hmm.
this is the first part of it, the ways and interpretations human beings put on animal communication.
Okay.
Why is it that a sparrow or a fly talks to you in English? Why is it that it talks to you in whatever native tongue you happen to have at the time? Part of the question and answer of this is actually, oftentimes, it's simply because of the presence of those walking with you, as in spirit guides, helpers, and that kind of situation, whereby they are actually interpreting or relaying messages or images or situations from other walks of life who happen to be in physical state, who are then helping the telepathic process reach to you, depending, of course, on how your ability to receive such messages are brought about. So it may be, dear friend, that, for example, that you are a clairaudient, in which case what will happen is you will have the messages as though they are a voice in your head. But oftentimes what happens is, in fact, the voice is transferred, in a sense, from the subject, that is the other animal who wants to communicate with you, via someone else, via a third party. So that means then that someone in the spirit world acting on your behalf is acting, in fact, as a form of mediator, come medium, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
because they are picking up the message and energy from the being on the physical side of life. We're not talking here about beings from our side of life, per se, bringing through messages. We're talking about actual animal life present now in your understanding where they wish to communicate with you.
Absolutely. So the bird in the garden, shall we say.
So the bird in the garden, the blackbird hopping about looking for worms and everything, any other little tidbits it can find. If suddenly, for example, you feel not a sensation, but a voice within you, it can be interpreted in two ways. The usual way will be if it's an identifying voice of the like and kind you are used to, which usually comes from a personality energy, that means it's coming from someone else within your spirit team, perhaps, who walks with you, a helper or guide, who has been assigned for that task and is actually relaying messages to you via the animal concerned. If it is, however, that it is a very quiet voice, which just appears to be as though it's not actually having a communication of emotive energy. That means it does not have an inflection that was of human state, but that actually carries something that's quite different, that you sense is different. Then oftentimes that can be related to the being themselves actually sending you a telepathic message.
Okay, so basically, if it's a message from a guide, for instance,
yes,
you will get the whole feeling of the situation,
yes,
as well.
Yes,
if
that's right.
It's just the message that comes to you, possibly in the same way, but without the feeling.
Yes, it usually will not have the same feeling at all.
But it can come to you the similar way, though, can it?
Well,
you pick it up the same.
Yes. It can almost feel as though it is the same, except for the fact it doesn't have the calling card of the helper or guide. It doesn't have the energy, the same resonance that the energy of the spirit guide would have, you see?
Okay, yes. Is that because,
so it's quite different.
Is that because spirit guides, for instance, will use your the recognition of your senses,
yes,
and what things feel to you that you interpret to be,
yes,
shall we say.
Yes, that's
but,
right.
That's why they use that.
Yes, okay. And they will use the development process that they've already gone through with you in order to engage with what's going on and the communication skill, you see.
Yes, but an animal, if you actually communicate with the animal, they can't actually trigger your senses.
No.
In that way.
No, that's
they?
Right. No, that's quite correct.
That's interesting.
Yes, so it means to say that, so in a sense then, what you would have if it were a blackbird or even a fly, it would communicate with you in exactly the way of your own understanding. That would be that it would say words. And it would have a, but it would have like a very small voice that's like in a tiny little compartment in the middle of your mind. That's exactly what it would feel like. And when you have this experience, it will be quite unlike any other kind of experience when you are talking via a spirit guide or some other situation, you see?
Okay.
I felt that it was necessary to point this out because I understand there are many people who, well, to begin with, there are some people who actually think that other people who are saying that they're talking to animals are losing the plot. But the point is, it very much depends on the kind and quality of communication taking place. Sometimes it may well be construed that it is the animal, when in actual fact it's someone else being an impersonator. So you have to be very careful of this, because the energy structure is actually quite different.
Okay, so are you, can you just be tuning into the animal's thoughts, or has the animal got to project it to you?
No, the animal must project it to you. It's not on your proviso. You can be the empty vessel that allows the channel of communication to open. However, you cannot construct it.
Right.
So that means to say you have to be passive. And you, as a being, have to, in a sense, rely on the being's goodwill that it actually wants to communicate with you in the first place. So this means to say that part of the reason for this is because human beings have broadly lost the art of communication, particularly with this kind of telepathic inference. So it's, and I say inference because it's a kind of telepathy that has no containment of emotion. Because animals do not necessarily relate to human beings in that way. They may come out with facts or whatever to do with their journey, but they will not necessarily contain emotion. Emotional fields don't come from telepathic nuance. What tends to happen is that human beings color the information they're receiving with their own interpretation and their own emotional journey. You see?
Yes, I do.
It's a mistake. So I know that this may be a little strange, but believe me, this is this is like the factual basis of mechanics of how it works. So what you have then is in fact a fly talking to you in very good English, or French, or whatever nationality you happen to be.
Yeah.
So it does not mean that flies talk in English. What it means is that they send their telepathic communication and it is automatically transferred into the language of your state of genetic orientation and how you have managed to strive in life.
Okay, but...
Which is very clever.
Well, it is very clever because, well, actually, that's the same as what you've told us it's like in the spirit world when you get to
exactly.
the spirit world.
Yes, it is. So of course it is.
Yes, okay.
And that's why it is that animals and their spirit are completely at one united during the whole breadth of their journey. And that is including lions, tigers, or whatever else it is. All animals have to take other life in order to survive, apart from those who eat grass.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So, okay. How, let me see. I'm just trying to figure out how to say this. By the way, if anybody wants to ask him a question about this, please do phone in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 00153087632322. And the last one is not toll free.
I am so sorry to have put you on the spot over this, no, friend, little bird.
No, but it is fascinating. It is fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know your instrument, Mick, did a trick the other day. Well, it was like a trick, wasn't it? But it wasn't. He just, to see if it would work, basically, speaking
yes.
to a fly and asked it to jump on his hand so he could put it out the window.
Yes.
And it did. I mean, that was just bizarre. It was... as much of a shock to Mick as it was to anybody else.
Yes, yes.
And he did it again to another one, and it happened twice.
Yes.
Which is quite interesting.
Yes.
But anyway, so... But
of course, that matters mm-hmm. as to whether the fly actually wants to get out of the window.
Yes.
Whether it sees the window as an obstacle, or whether it has become so annoyed and angry with itself that it can't communicate with anyone. That's part of the reason, incidentally, why it is that some people, when they're trying to communicate with flies or whatever, or mm. trying to relay reason to it, that oftentimes they are actually besides themselves with extreme negativity because they don't know what's stopping them from being over there.
They can't see
glass, you see.
Well, that can go with...
wasps and bees, too.
With any animal?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, so practicing your animal communication on an animal, then it's good, actually, isn't it, to probably try it on something that is feeling quite laid back at the time and,
yes.
and responsive to you?
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Yes, quite so. It's part of the reason also why it is that we have always been greatly perturbed by the issuance... by the insistence of human beings calling animals dumb when they step out in front of a moving vehicle, a truck or a car. They don't know it's a truck or a car. They don't know that it's going to go straight ahead and hit them and not stop or get out of the way or move out of the way. They have not any idea that is going to take place. They don't even see it a lot of the time. They don't understand that it's something that could potentially take their life.
Mm.
So when you look at a deer in the headlights or something like that, you have to understand the deer is absolutely petrified. And what you're dealing with is an animal which is at will frozen. So the only thing that you can do to avoid collision is put your foot on the brake. Not to carry on and accelerate. Because it won't get out of the way, because it doesn't know you're there, doesn't know the potential, cannot conceive of it. You see?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So going back to the animal communication, are there certain animals that are easier to practice this communication on? Obviously, we're not going to go on safari to practice it. So preferably that, you know, docile, domestic pets or whatever.
They are not necessarily better,
actually.
Usually because they are quite lazy.
Ah, that's interesting. We've made them lazy.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely, little birds, yes.
Mm.
If you were actually making them communicate with you, they would have done so. If they felt the need that they really had to do that and you were susceptible to it, then that would have happened and taken place. The trouble is that many animals have so much done for them all of the time, they can't even think for themselves. Even that becomes a chore, you see?
Mm. Yes.
Part of the reason, I suppose, why you have cats sleeping half the day. Because they can't be bothered to do anything else.
Hmm. I might try it on my horse next time I want it to stop.
Yes.
When we're gathering momentum and we're going into a gallop and I don't want to.
Yes. Yes. Yes, quite so.
Seriously, it's really, you know, that's what I mean about picking a moment, obviously.
Yes, absolutely so. But the point is that, unfortunately, what tends to happen when your horse is in that momentum is that it just wants to get over there.
Yeah.
It's not thinking about the journey.
No.
No. No. So you've lost the plot already, you see.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a situation that you can recover. You have to begin this at a different time.
So for our listeners, if they want to practice doing the animal communication on their pets, is there an animal that would be best to practice on first?
Start with flies.
Really?
Bugs. Start with bugs and flies, yes, absolutely.
Not the dog or the cat?
No. No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Bugs and flies.
And you say it in your mind or out loud?
Well, if you say it out loud, they may actually be disturbed by the vibration you set up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, first of all, what you have to do is accept pace. That means that you don't do something in your time. So that means that you have to slow your energy, your thing of what you think and feel. You have to create the space so that the fly or bug will be able to communicate with you. Mm. And as I say, it will be like a very small voice, but right inside your head.
Mm.
So don't look for it.
No,
because
obviously, yeah.
Then it simply won't happen.
Mm.
What I'm suggesting here is that you just let go, in the Sacy way, of course, that you just let go, and it may happen the instant that you do that.
So basically ask it a question and then try and go blank and not be thinking about looking for something to come back.
Yes. Like, usually, if it's a bug entrapped in a house, you would ask it, would you like to get out? Would you like to get out of the window or the door? You see? And then you just, if nothing comes back, then what you can do is just place your hand on a flat surface in front of the window that you're going to open, and then just ask the fly or the bug to climb on it or fly to it.
Hmm.
You see?
Can they read signs? Because, you know, you could have one in the kitchen.
No, they can't read signs. They don't know English, friend.
No.
They are only communicating with you one-sided. So it's like, when you ask them a question, it's actually being delivered to them in their own structure.
Hmm. I think that's the hardest thing to understand.
Yes, I understand that.
But then, you know, if you think of thoughts and words as being energy, no matter what culture, race we are, if you're stood by somebody that doesn't like you, they don't really have to speak, do they?
No, that's right.
You know, or they do like you. So
yes.
It's...
yes, because you feel the vibration.
An advancement on that, really.
Yes, that's right. Quite so.
Because I know you've said before that when you greet people as they pass to the spirit world from this lifetime,
yes,
that you, it doesn't matter where they were from and that you couldn't speak their language. So
that's right. That is very true.
It's very fascinating. Very fascinating, yeah. Indeed.
Yes. So then what you would have is that, as I say, to begin with this, because it's something that is commonality to all.
Mm.
And then it means that you can do it when you're... that doesn't mean to say, friend, that you go out and entrap flies and then bring them into your house or something like that. It's just simply that when the opportunity arises, that is when you need to take the lead for this.
Mm.
And it's exactly the same, my dear friend. If you wanted to communicate with a plant, then you would do so in your own language, but in soft ways. So you're not setting up a coarse vibration or something that's difficult for them to manage, but that you set up a vibration which is very loving. And you would talk to it. You would play a plant music, and you will find that it will respond. I've talked about this before, where in actual fact, you can set up a plant with lie detectors or something like that, some kind of
of a device that you have on your side of life that picks up electrical pulse energy or some other kind of energy, which then transfers into whereby you can then perhaps connect it up to a sensitive instrument or some other kind of instrument, which will then in fact interpret those pulses and responses as electronic notes. And that's exactly how you would have plants playing music, their own music.
And would they join in with the same sort of music, or do they have their own specific
music? No, they have their own music.
And each plant has a different style of music?
No, it actually has quite a commonality, strangely enough. So you might have a lot of plants, or some of different natures, who perhaps, shall we say, if they come from a certain kind of climate or a certain genetic, they may have slightly different orientation by how they can arrange music themselves. But if you were to give plants the possibility and the wherewithal to be able to do this, you would simply, incidentally, attach electrodes or diodes onto the leaves. That's usually the best place. Or fleshy stems. Never something that's wooden, but actually something that is that if you pricked it, or that you made a hole in the stem of a fleshy part, it would bleed in a sense of it. Yes, it would weep. Yes. But that's not to say that you're hurting the plant. What you're actually doing by attaching a diode or something like that would be, or electrode, you would actually be, in a sense, just putting it very, very closely against the tissue of the plant to enable its energy to transfer over to the electronic device, and thus sending various different pulsing waves, which actually, once the plant learns, and it does, this is the other interesting part about it, that the plant can actually learn different kinds of ways of interpreting what music they want to bring about once they have understood the different kinds of arrangements, maybe tectonic plate shifts to do with the different vibrations set up by different notes and that kind of thing. So it will then orientate as well. I would suggest as well that what you do is that you have each note which is sustained in some way, because they like sustained notes. Plants, that's part of the reason why plants actually love different kinds of classical music.
Because they like the
long notes.
Crescendo.
Yes, yes. Yes, absolutely. Not too loud, but they actually like the drifting sounds and that kind of thing. I understand they are absolutely fascinated by certain composers.
You know, you could almost, couldn't you, sit down and pick different plants and imagine what music that they would like.
Yes, quite so. It needs to be actually ones which are quite resilient as well. They tend to bring out the best kinds of forms of music, you see.
So is this something that they do in the spirit world that you know that they could still do in the physical?
Yes, that's right. So it's one of the things that they do in the spirit world, in the universe, when they are not having physical state. So part of the universe in the spirit world is made up of many hundreds of thousands of millions of plant life. And all of these kinds of life, maybe they share their genetic, maybe they don't. Maybe they're quite alien to one another, but they still have abilities to produce sound, as well as, of course, as I have also said before, about the abilities of plants to talk to you when you are spirit, pure spirit. And that's exactly the same as them carrying on their role from physical life, in a sense.
But obviously we can't pick that up, can we? From that's not something that we can do here, that pick up their thoughts.
It's actually quite difficult, I have to say.
I'm sure there's somebody that can.
Having those abilities is quite rare.
Yeah.
But, however, being able to actually express your thoughts across to a plant is something that is not specifically unique. It is actually something that can happen very often. Yeah. Part of the reason, incidentally, why there are some people who call themselves green-fingered is actually because they understand not just the ability and naturality of plants and their local habitat, and therefore that's a habitat which is created for them, leading to happy and smiling plants and ones which are very vibrant and productive. It's all about earth energy as well, and how you yourself as a physical being lay down or alter or create supplicants to this earth energy. So it's like you enhance it with your vibration, do you not?
Yeah. Mm. Do you think people don't realize it, but they might also be people that talk to themselves, talk to the plants, talk to themselves, talk to the plants?
Yes, absolutely.
Just generally, Twitter away while they're working with their plants.
Oh, yes, or whatever, absolutely. And they love it. Absolutely love it. They adore it.
The plants like it, yeah.
Yes. They don't just like it, they adore it.
Really?
Because it's real communication. Mm. And they feel such at one with that person.
I think I do remember that you said that they hum as well in the spirit
world.
Oh, they
do hum a great deal, yes. But that's, in a sense, part of their throwback from when parts of their genetic are having physical life, and they hum to one another. You see? They also do that in order to entice and enchant insects so that they help them to survive. That's not to say, of course, that they are not aggrieved when they get attacked by a different group of insects. But, however, usually what can happen is that the plant will send out distressful energy, if that is the case, and then other insects will come to their rescue, if that be the case. The point is, of course, that insect does not necessarily speak plant exactly, because they all talk and communicate in a language of commonality.
Which is?
Well, that is however it transposes to that being. So what I'm saying is that when you talk to fly, you are not talking, you are talking your English, because that's the pattern of language you know. You don't actually learn fly.
Or any other, whatever your native tongue is.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't. Yes, absolutely.
So what you do is you gather your inference. You gather the energy of what you want to get across.
Mm.
And you send that out, you see. It may well be, of course, that the fly or other being doesn't actually want to communicate with you. So you really do have to learn the art of patience.
Well, that's why I asked you before about, does the animal, in particular, have to be receptive, or a specific type of animal, a laid back animal, or something that's less sort of fractious.
Yes, what
so
you have
that
to
it concentrate. It has a space there somewhere in your mind, you know.
Yes, but what you have to do, friend, little bird, is you have to pick the right time upon which to approach the animal. If it is a known fractious animal, then you've got to pick the right time when to communicate with it, when it's just eaten food, for a start.
Well, I was just thinking, imagine sitting around saying, okay, well, we'll go and find a frog and we'll capture a frog and then we'll put it on the middle of the garden and we'll sit round it. Well, it's going to be totally freaked out. And
absolutely.
And then you're going to think, oh, no, I'm no good at
it. It'll be scared witless. It will be thinking that you're trying to, that you're going to eat it.
yeah.
You see?
Yeah, so, well, it's something that everybody can practice on their pets anyway, or on their...
Yes, absolutely so.
...their little fly visitors.
Yes, but try it with your little fly visitors instead of swatting them.
No, well, I'm not even going there.
Squishing folks. Bugs on the window.
Not going there. Okay, well, that's really interesting. So what was the other thing that you were going to talk about?
So, well, what I was going to talk about then was how that relates to the spirit world.
Okay, good.
You see?
Yeah.
So what we have then is this over-dramatization, in a sense, of how human beings think that everything revolves around them, and how it is that human beings tend to think that all beings then must speak in their language, because that's the evidence that they've got so far, because flies talk in English. Well, blow me, bless me down, they all talk in English. We have English-speaking flies, English-speaking spiders, English-speaking frogs and newts, and blackbirds and starlings.
Or if you're in Russia, oh, Russian.
Yes, absolutely so.
Japanese, etc.
So, yes, quite so. So everyone actually thinks that when they're in that mass communication field, that it's actually something purely aspiring to them. So what this is it's a part of the mechanism of the universe, which is actually a part of the law of proximity. It's another part of the law of proximity. So it means to say that when you're in physical life, if you come from a specific genetic structure and you're trying to communicate with another, it will always use a language of commonality. That means that it will talk, the other being will talk to you in the language that you understand, or you will talk to it in what you think the language should be that that being will understand. However, I have to say, the point sometimes breaks down if the being itself has actually learnt a different language of the structure of the physical side of life. So, for example, if you were a being then who wanted to communicate with a horse, but the horse was born in Holland and can only speak Dutch, then no matter how much you want to talk to it, or that you give it commands verbally, physically, it will always respond, it will not ever respond to you because it doesn't know what you're trying to say. If you communicate with that being in a language structure and a way of energy which is purely telepathic, or that is the inference energy you're trying to set up between you and it, then that will be a different matter. So if then you have a horse which is Dutch and cannot speak any other language, the only thing you can do in order to set up communication is by telepathy.
Interesting. I do know people that have purchased animals from a European country.
Yes.
Wondered why they couldn't do anything with them.
Yes, it's only because they speak Dutch. So you have to learn the structure of Dutch language, of what they have practiced, the 70 words or whatever it is, that these horses have been taught thus far. Or at least that's part of the language that they understand, until you teach them your language. But until you do that, you can actually talk with them via your telepathic messaging service, if you like. That's a bit like using Morse code, I suppose, which means that it's a language of commonality. But it's actually the law of proximity that allows you this luxury of communicating with many different structures of life, with many different evolutionary beings that are not related to you one iota. So it could be a worm or a slug or a leech or some other thing, a mollusk, some other kind of mollusk, you see? Could be any of those.
Absolutely. Okay, well, yeah, very interesting. And in the spirit world, obviously, and like you've said many times, that all animals can communicate
with one another.
With one another.
And it's instant.
Yeah, because of thought.
And my point, however, is that this is something which actually happens in physical life as well. So you will have a situation where, for example, a tiger or a lion or a leopard or whatever will maybe even befriend the infant of some being that it whose life it has taken because it wanted food. And will actually sit and nurture that being. So, for example, we have known instances and many cases where lions have actually, after they had taken the mother of, shall we say, an impala or some such thing, that the lion has then turned round and helped the young of that impala to regain its feet and go on and have physical life. And doesn't simply bite its head off. You see?
Yeah, yeah. So back to the spirit world.
Yes. So, and then in the spirit world, what happens is that communication is evident
and is actual. So you never have a situation where one being does not understand another being. It may be, however, due to other proximities that the state of language of one being or their consciousness understanding does not permit them to communicate with someone else. That's a different matter altogether, and that's usually because of negativity or positivity that they have created within their physical life. I understand that much has been said about the fact that all beings who are of greater energy can communicate with any energy. That is completely false. Because sometimes it can be that a negative energy is so of that vibration that the positive loving energy cannot reach it or needs help to reach it. So it's not always as a given that you can say right across the universe that all loving beings, if they're truly loving, can communicate with any single energy. It may be able to do so through love and emotion, non-verbal communication, and that kind of thing. But even then, it may well be that the being itself actually chooses to ignore it.
So, if I know that we have to make recompense to think for things that we've done wrong,
yes.
When we get to the spirit world, you know,
yes.
Apologize, whatever it is that we have to do. Okay. What about animals that have had their lives taken by another animal here for survival, like you were just talking about?
Yes.
Does that animal have to apologize to the other species that they have harmed, taken the life of? Or is that not, that doesn't work like that?
Well, the point is, it does in a sense.
Mm.
But that's like saying that it was doing this knowing that it was a negative act.
Yes.
It's human beings that tend to place the emotional journey of negativity when they observe situations and events of in the natural world, such as the life of one being taking the life of another, even to the point of a mole chewing up a worm.
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking about, you know, once it had realized what the consequences of that was, even, you know, that's what I'm trying to get to
I understand that.
I know I'm talking about intelligence because that's the only word I can think of.
Yes.
Once a lion understands, realizes what it did, do they ever feel remorseful and then befriend these animals in the spirit world?
Yes, I understand. It's quite difficult, actually, for those kinds of, for all of those kinds of prey animals, not singling out lions, but all kinds of prey animals, which you could say is most of the animals living on the planet, because most of them are prey animals, unless they only eat grass or leaves. So that means to say it actually covers a very large amount of beings.
Mm.
My point really is in the evolutionary field, they have not been programmed to do anything else. That means to say that they are not emotionally tied to that journey of what they have to do. It's just something that they do.
Mm. Yeah.
So they do not have an emotional attachment to it. If they did, they would surely not do it. And then you would have that species would have to, I suppose, on purpose, find something else.
Mm.
But that's like saying that if you look at certain monkeys, certainly chimpanzees, that they will actually eat one another, given half the chance.
Mm. Yeah, I just wondered if the realization factor triggers a different response in the spirit world.
Yes. My point really, though, is that even with different kinds of monkeys, when they eat one another, they actually understand emotional attachment. So that makes it even more difficult for human mind or any mind to come around to that and understand it, because they understand all about deep-seated relationships and therefore must have attachment of emotional value upon it. Yes.
Mm.
One would think. So does that mean to say then that these situations are carried out in great anger or that kind of thing? Yes, they are, actually, usually. It's usually violence which erupts through anger perpetrated by some unsteadiness or some unsettling event within the troop or group.
which then triggers off the violence that then, in a sense, just like football supporters, I suppose, goes outside of the realm of possibility. I'm just playing with you, you see.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Football just went right over my head. Anyway, the plants again. Let's go back to the plants.
Yes, let's.
Because the thing is, sometimes, you know, when I'm speaking to Gregory, I think, oh, no, that's a really silly question, you know, that I won't ask that because this couldn't possibly be. But now I know better than to think that because yes. Very often it is possible. So,
yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Plants yes. And flowers, etc.
Yes.
Do they have relationships?
They tend not to have specific relationships in that way. As human beings have relationships. They have relationships with their aura or with their area in which they live at the time. So, for example, if a plant finds itself in a certain place, it will make the best of that place. If it's in a sunny position, it will be very happy, or it will be sad because there's not enough shade. In which case it will wither and perish, or it won't grow very well because the conditions aren't right for it.
What about in the spirit world, though? Do they have? Are they favoured?
They are favoured, actually, because of their vibration and because of the fact of the beautiful sound that they create within their vibration.
So which plants, flowers, like to be together? Preferably.
Yes, that's a very difficult question.
I know, I'm good, aren't I?
There are.
Look, folks, yes. I didn't have any idea what we were going to talk about today, so yes. I'm excelling here because
yes,
I've got him in a corner.
I move out of my corner with this, my dear friend. Bluebells, for example, or clouds of daffodils, or clouds of primrose, or clouds of narcissi, or clouds of plants of one species that are together in that way, have set up a specific vibration between them. So, for example, if you are walking past a field, and let's say it's a crop, we'll say that it's barley, or a field of wheat, or a field of something else, rye, or okay. Flax or whatever, it has its own vibration. It will oftentimes share that vibration with seeds that have been dropped by birds in the periphery of the field, and that will be peppered with different kinds of things, like poppies, with wildflowers, different kinds of situations. It's not to say that they purposefully move there, because the universe thinks that it'll be a nice place to be. Naturally, seeds are dropped by birds. That's how plants propagate across the planet. And different seeds by different means and areas. So it may well be that you have porcupines or hedgehogs or some other kind of hedge pig which actually eats the seed or distributes it some other way. So that means, in a sense, that the plant is not necessarily foreclosing on it. It isn't actually creating the energy of where it wants to be, but simply by the synopsis of other animals interacting with it. So this means to say, then, that, in a sense, it's an opportunist moment. And what will tend to happen is, then, when seeds are dropped by the delivery of animals or whatever, or birds, it's usually something that happens on a cycle. So that means to say it's joining with many others of a similar kith and kin, maybe from a previous destination that was also similar. So that means to say that they all know one another, you see?
Okay, but I'm talking about the spirit world.
Yes, but I'm saying then the similar situations happen when you have conditions in the spirit world which are replicated as of the physical world. Doesn't mean to say it necessarily has to be, but oftentimes what happens is that with other energies they like to have the quality of beings of that nature, of plant and different kinds of plant structure, which because of their energy and likeness
mean that beings in the ether world are able then to revisit certain other situations, not just of their memory, but actually create energy as well through that vibration.
Hmm.
So it means that beings then that perhaps had previously been in a conscious memory may well aspire and actually recognize that person's own thought transience, so that it will be as, for example, a spirit of someone, let's say the spirit of someone walking or moving through the ether world, and they happen upon a field of daffodils or something like that, and triggers childhood memories or memories of their own physical life. Maybe it's not daffodils, maybe it's just of a forest or some other situation, condition that they lived in, whereby they actually felt conscious memory reoccur. And that's simply then something where the plant actually begins to recognize that energy, because the energy comes back from the spirit traveler and their recognition of that fields of event.
Hmm. But there are gardens in the spirit world, aren't there?
That's right.
People have gardens, or the plants just, I don't know, well, however they get there. So are they like the perennials together, the annuals together? Do they have, you know, poppies are always next to the daffodils, and do they sing together better and that sort of thing?
Yes, that's interesting point, my dear friend. Well, to begin with, annuals are not annuals in the spirit world.
No.
They come up when they like.
Yes.
They aren't driven by time, linear time, the way that they are in the physical world reality.
Well, they wouldn't hear, would they, if you didn't have these seasons?
Yes, quite so, that's right. They just come up whenever they wanted to.
Yeah. Please.
Yes, and that's exactly the same as what happens in the spirit world. So it's not to say that some plants are better together than others, because they don't have animosity with one another. But believe it or not, even plants which in the physical side of life choke others and cause them to pass.
Mm. And so, of course, there's the colours as well that you said. Yes. There, we're almost at the end of the show, actually.
Oh.
But you said before about colours as well in the spirit world. With
yes.
The plants are much
yes.
more vibrant than they are when they're here.
Yes, absolutely. So, and the colour prism really is quite different. That's in a sense part of the reason why when you are in the physical side of life and you're seeing something from our side of life, it looks so different. Anyway, its colour structure is completely different, because colour is different. We don't have the same colour orientation that you have in the physical side of life. It's much deeper, far wider, you see?
Mm.
So it means to say then that the vibrant structure of one set of plants will say that they are different kinds of peony or something like that, but actually the structure of peony in the spirit world is vast. You could have almost any colour, you see.
Mm, yes, absolutely, sounds wonderful.
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid we've come to the end of our 300th show.
Yes, well, very well then. Very well. Then it is with love and light and blessings as ever, little bird. And thank you so very much for all of your kind attention and your energy and your understanding, dear friend, at this time. And for all of those listening at this time, we bid you love. We bid you the wellness of the spirit world. We wish you all loving energy and harmonic energy within your lifespan experience. I thank you so very much for allowing us to participate in this program. I thank you so. God bless upon your journeys, everyone.
Thank you, Gregory. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this show, and we look forward to the next 300. Do join us, and go to our website and find out more about us. If you would like to get in touch, then that would be fantastic. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. And also, you can find out about our Akashic readings there or anything. Just drop me an email, and there's all sorts of information, videos, and oh gosh, it's a vast library really. And it's all about the spirit world and the awareness of your spiritual journey and the mechanics of the universe, basically. It's all fascinating stuff, but everybody can understand it, I promise you. So, you've been listening to Spirit's Work. I'm Sylvie Avery, and this has been a wonderful session. Thank you so much on the wonderful bbsradio.com. So, until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal. knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Okay.
Hi. Hi. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, have you got another one? Have you got somebody now? Okay.